Good morning.
Good morning.
So it's a happy new year.
Happy new year.
Or maybe happy Super Bowl. it is a good thing that we're here today and have this opportunity to worship God together. We are creatures of habit. Each of us gets up in the morning. We get dressed, we have breakfast, and then we begin our first project. For many of us, this first project is getting ourselves to wherever we need to be, whether it's school or our work. Now, as I go out the door, I check my right front pocket, make sure I have my car keys. I check my left front pocket, make sure I have my office key. I check my back left pocket. Oops. Make sure I have my wallet. Then I check my right coat pocket. Make sure I have my pen. And last but absolutely not least, my right front pocket, I have my phone. And, you know, this is the ritual. It's like just as I go out the door. Now, sometimes I don't find my phone in my right front pocket or some other thing, so I have to go back and look and see where I might have left it the night before. The other day I did this search for 10 minutes before I realized the phone was in my shirt pocket. So it goes. But once I get out the door, I put my bag and my coat, at least in the winter, in the back seat of the car. I sit down in the driver's seat, put my right foot on the brake, I use my left foot to release the parking brake, I first push the garage door opener, and then I push the start button, and I carefully back out of the garage, being careful not to hit Shelton's car on the right, or Kai's car, which is back and to the right, or the side of the garage on the left. And this is a routine. Now, we all have routines that we follow each and every day. And so habits are simply part of our lives. It's what we do. You know, habits are really part of what God gave us. It's part of the structure that God gave us in our lives. And this goes way back at the very beginning of creation in Genesis 1:14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate day from night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, and years." That is, God set up a pattern. And we can call these habits that we each are going to participate in as part of our life on this earth. It's part of the structure of God's created order. And to be sure, some of these habits, you might even say, are forced upon us. Let's take the examples of eating and sleeping. They're requirements. As long as you live on this earth, you must eat, you must sleep. It's not a choice that you have that you think would be really good if you gave up eating. Now, you can, of course, fast for a time. You can, of course, go without food for a time. But if you give it up altogether, your time on the earth will not be long. Okay. So it's part of life on the earth. Now, I didn't bring my Bible. So our scripture reading today it's from chapter 2 of Ephesians, and began with this verse. This is verse 1. "As for you, you were dead, in your transgressions and sins." So Paul had been speaking about the church and of Christ, but now he sort of turns to each of us as individuals and reminds us of our history. He says, "You, Jonathan, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. You, Vincent, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins." we all were dead in our transgressions, in our sins. Let me use a kind of an analog or analogy here. Imagine that you had been born into a deep, dark dungeon. And this dungeon has no light. And it doesn't smell very good in this dungeon. And it's kind of uncomfortable and not very nice. And the society isn't all that enjoyable. In fact, the way you eat is you catch rats. And so you have to catch rats in the dark. And living in the dungeon, we develop certain kinds of habits. So, for example, if I hear a rat scurrying by, I'm going to jump to grab that rat. And maybe somebody else also jumps to grab that rat. And if I'm bigger than they are, I push them aside. That's my rat. Okay. And if they still try to get that rat after I push them aside, I don't know. Maybe I hit them. Or maybe I bite them. This is the life I've known. And if they still keep trying to get that rat, my rat, the rat I'm going to eat, maybe I beat them. Maybe I beat them senseless to the point of incapacitation. Or even worse. This is how we live in the dungeon. This is how. If I don't get that rat, I'm going to go hungry. And why should I go hungry just so you can eat? So excuse me just a second here. Now, so Ephesians 2 continues. Well, I'll go back and read verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3 goes on to say, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were object... Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. So here we are in our dungeon. And a miracle, truly a miracle, occurs. One day, somebody shows up with a light. And he walks around the dungeon telling people that there's a better way than living in the dungeon fighting over rats. Matthew 4:16 says, those in darkness have seen a great light. In Matthew 5:14, we see that Jesus is the light of the world. So Jesus shows up with a light. He goes around and he collects us and starts to teach us about how we can live and how we can be changed and how we can be different. And it may so happen that it's us, that we follow Jesus. So one day, we're sitting in a room in the dungeon. Jesus has his light, and he gives to each of us lamps. And so now we all have light. And he's teaching us. And perhaps I'm sitting next to, well, maybe it was Elizabeth. Maybe Elizabeth and I were sitting while we were listening to Jesus teach. And then suddenly, a rat jumps out of the hole in the wall. And from my habit of the past, I jump to grab that rat. And well, so does Elizabeth. Now, I know Elizabeth probably really wouldn't jump to catch a rat, but just imagine with me. And, well, my habit is, that's my rat. So I push Elizabeth down and snarl at her and grab the rat and start to eat it myself. And Elizabeth is really thinking, I'm glad I didn't get that rat. But that was my past. That's what I knew before. That was my habit. And so that's what I did. Now, of course, Jesus is going to pull me aside and teach me how to work with Elizabeth so that we can have food and not for us to be in the conflict that arose out of the circumstances of our past when we were in darkness. So now we have light, and we're going to be learning more appropriate habits. We're going to be learning the lessons of good works, the lessons of joy, the lessons of the Holy Spirit that produces the fruits of the Spirit in us, such as love, and joy, and peace. And this is from the King James. Long-suffering, goodness, and meekness, and temperance, and faith. And those things which we never knew when we were in the dark. Now, some of those old habits may still reside within us. And our responses in some situations, well, the word is sinful, certainly inappropriate. Okay, and Elizabeth, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to push you. We are in the process of learning to give up those habits. Learning to take on the habits to put on, almost as clothing, the righteousness of Christ. So, I think I've gotten behind our scripture. So verses 4 and 5. Well, back in verse 3. So all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, that is, grabbing rats whenever we felt like it, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by very nature objects of wrath. We were worthless. We weren't good for anything. So the fact that Jesus showed up with the light really is a miracle to us. And because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And now the next verse, next two verses. Remember, here we are. We've got a light now. We're still sitting around in a dank dungeon. And these verses, for a long time, and maybe still, has a sort of effect on me. That, you know, what is God trying to say here? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I'm seated in the heavenly realms? No, I'm seated on a rock. It's got some mold growing on it, and there are rats running around. And I've learned not to jump on them, at least at the same time that Elizabeth is trying to jump on them. And I'm wondering, Jesus, what are you talking about? I'm seated in the heavenly realms. And I think it's something like this. Jesus came, and I don't know where. And you know, there may have been a staircase in our dungeon. And that staircase goes up and up and up and up. And it comes to a stone wall. And we never understood what the staircase was about. It was just there. And it didn't get us anything. And we got to that stone wall and it didn't get us anything. But Jesus gave us a key. Yeah, a key. Like the one in my left pocket. Only better. And that key, he told us, would open that stone wall and take us to a new world where there's light and where there is the presence of God, where there is joy, where there is a new way of living, something that's different, a place for us. So, I think these verses are telling us about that key and how real that key is. Despite the fact that I'm sitting in a dungeon on a stone with mold and slime growing on it, that's not the reality of my life. That is a mission that God has given me because there are others who need help. And Christ is asking us to help them, to join him in bringing those into the light. So he has given us that small light, and he's given us that key with which we can then pass through that what seemed to us to be merely a stone wall. And now that is the reality of our lives. That is who we are. We're not people who fight over rats. But we're children of light. So let's talk about the reality of our existence in the dungeon. It's true. There's stagnant water over here, slime over there, piles of rat bones over there. And there's some unpleasant folks around us because they're still fighting over rats. And they have not yet seen or understood the light. But our lives are truly no longer there. They're there only because the Lord of Light has given us a mission to move, to help those people see the light, to be moved, to move out. Now, this can still be something of a scary place. And when we lose sight of Jesus, when we forget the significance of that key that he has given us, we get scared. We may even return to the habits that we had before when we didn't know about the light. It's a very interesting about human nature, that habit can draw us. And we've been reading about how the children of Israel left the Egypt in our Sunday school class. And they're given this great salvation repeatedly. And every time something goes wrong, they complain to Moses, "Why did you take us from Egypt? We'd rather be there. We'd rather be slaves. We'd have something to eat. At least they have water there." We tend to be that way. That even though we have seen the light, have been given the key, we kind of have that tendency to not focus, or maybe the correct theological version is we tend to lose faith. We tend to not allow the Spirit of God to make real our new lives, the new realities of our lives. And those realities are a heavenly reality. Okay, so we need to learn the habits of the kingdom. As I mentioned earlier, the fruit of the Spirit, or the types of habits that grow out of our lives when we allow the Spirit of God to speak within the light in our lives. Romans 12:2 reminds us that we need to not conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to allow God to change our thinking, to change those responses that when we see a rat, that that's our rat, and we're going to keep it. And you see, of course, what a great salvation we have. We no longer have to look at a rat and say, that's a wonderful thing. That's the best thing in my life. Okay? We now understand this thing is much better and much greater. Let me read the last two verses of this passage. Last three. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, of course, the teaching here is the teaching of salvation by grace, meaning no matter what work we do, that's not going to make us good enough to get out of the dungeon. Okay? It's not that Jesus came to earth to make a deal with us, to say, if you do this, then you'll be saved from this dungeon. God came to us. Jesus came and said, I'm going to save you from this dungeon. Just believe in me. And then we can get to work on what the new realities of the life you will have. And the new realities makes those works a pleasure, a joy, except to the extent that we remember those old habits. And I have to tell you, this dungeon was a little bit worse than perhaps I mentioned earlier. Because there was some guy, I don't really know who he was, but he would show up every once in a while. He was the Lord of the Rats. And he'd organize a competition. He would make sure that there were lots of rats available, and they were prepared, however rats are prepared in the dungeon, so that people would think that was a great thing. And then you know what he'd do? He'd have a kind of reality game show where people, which brings out the very worst in people. He would try to make people fight and squabble. Who knows, maybe even go into combat and to hurt each other, or worse. And that was what, let's name this person. That person is Satan. And Satan, and this I want to be a little bit careful. Satan doesn't necessarily want to make us worse than we were, but he'll promote rebellion against God, following our earthly desires as much as he can. And so if he sees that he can set up a game show, and I don't mean to refer to any game show, although there's some pretty awful game shows out there, that causes us to enhance all of those earthly desires and so forth, that he will do. I got a little bit distracted there, but let's turn it around. Let's see where God wants us to head. See how God wants us to resist those desires and to be stewards of the light. Okay? So part of that is learning those new habits, those habits of the Spirit. But I think there's even more to that. And I'm going to give you a proof text in a moment. You may or may not accept my proof text. It may not be complete. But I think God, in showing us the light, is offering us much more than a chance to have good habits. Although that's part of it. And it really is part of living on this world. God is offering us a chance to join Him in being creative. When we were living in the dungeon with no light, what was creativity? Finding a better way to catch a rat? I don't know. There was no scope. There was no possibility of being creative. So I'm going to give you my proof text. This is Psalm 96:1. And I just want you to think about this with me for just a moment. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Okay. Well, what's that a proof of? Well, think about this word. Sing to the Lord a new song. Where do new songs come from? It comes from a musical composer who sits down, reflects upon what God has done for them, what God has done for all humanity, who prays and listens to the Spirit of God, and then composes a new song. A specific and definite act of creativity. Something that was not possible. No one sits around writing about songs in a dungeon. I don't know. Or maybe they do. Songs about how to catch rats. Just no material. Nothing interesting. So here we are. And this is a small example, I know. It's just a song. Just a song. Well, that's what's commanded. There are many types of creativity. There are many challenges to creativity. Creativity can be dangerous. And there's several kinds of danger there. One kind of danger is maybe I start to write songs and then I start to think about rats. Maybe I do start writing songs to catching rats. That is something that when I see the light enough to have some creativity, maybe I start directing my creativity in inappropriate, wrong, sinful directions. Another possibility is that in creativity, and this is sort of intrinsic in creativity, we do things which people don't understand. And maybe we do make mistakes. But maybe God calls us to that so that we learn. So that we learn from those mistakes. That we become, now I could use the word better people, but maybe we are able to become better bearers of the image of God, who is the ultimate and creativity. So let me simply leave you with that challenge. And it is a tremendous challenge to be created. It is a tremendous challenge to follow God. And I will suggest to you that as we develop good habits in Him, He's also calling us to go further, to be bold, and to be creative in Him. Thank you.